to the skies very high.
Hello and welcome to Talking PPG Radio. My name is Will Jones. The following information is not for training, but personal experiences and reflections on the world of power paragliding as I know. All guests of Talking PPG Radio have formed their own ideas, thoughts, and opinions on the world of power paragliding. They are not necessarily the thoughts or opinions of Talking PPG Radio. You may agree or disagree to what you hear. Talking PPG Radio is here to get conversations, thoughts, ideas about the world of power paragliding. Safety first. I highly recommend a qualified instructor. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoy. Hey guys, welcome back. Will Jones, Talking PPG Radio. Well, I have for you Brandon Oberlin from the Indy Air Hogs. Coming up really soon, September 4th through the 7th, the Indy Air Hogs 7th annual fly-in in Scottsburg, Indiana. If you live within... Well, I guess everybody's within driving distance. Well, unless you're overseas or something, huh? Anyway, here in the mid-states here, you definitely got to check out this fly-in. So I called Brandon, talked to him about that. And I haven't had Brandon on in a while. I'm there for a while. Brandon was like a regular. You kind of laugh about it a little bit there at the beginning. So, and then actually, just real quick, I asked a question. Brandon actually went to the Kankakee fly-in or the at Joyce Field, which it seems like... there will no longer be any PPG or PG flying going on there. So just kind of get his thoughts. I was reading some of the stuff on the that was posted on the Indy Air Hogs Yahoo group a couple weeks ago. And was just getting his take on it. So, but anyway, we'll get right into it. Thanks for listening. Will Jones, Talking PPG Radio.
Hey guys, welcome back. Will Jones, Talking PPG Radio. Well, haven't had Brandon Oberlin on in so long, it seems like. Coming up here real soon, matter of fact, September 4th through the 7th, Indy Air Hogs 7th Annual Fly-In. Brandon, welcome back, buddy. How you doing?
Thanks for having me on, Will. I'm doing great.
Good, man. Been a while. I'm there for a while, you were like a regular. What happened?
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a while, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
flying every year though, so
yeah, man. Looking forward to it. I'm sure a lot of people are and everything. I want to get back, get you know, in contact with you and talk about it a little bit. See what's going on with the Indy Air Hogs up there in Indianapolis. You know, you're about 100 miles away from me, and I feel like I don't ever see you guys.
Yeah, well, I don't come up here very much.
Yeah,
Dave Halcombe's been training a lot of new students, and there've been people from Ohio, Indiana, Michigan, kind of all around, have been coming here and training. So we've been having a good time.
Have you added to your roster of Indy Hogs, man? How many you got flying up that area now?
I think you're going to meet some new hogs as they're flying. I know probably about 7 new students will be there, new-ish, and maybe more.
Wow.
So some new faces will be there. That'll be fun.
And the old ones, of course.
I'm sorry?
I said, and the old ones, of course, Phil, all those guys. So.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, the usual crowd will be there, along with some new faces. So it looks like it's shaping up to be a big year for the fly-in.
Really? Wow.
50-plus people signed up already online, and I would encourage any listeners who plan on coming, if you're pilots, go ahead and register. If you're not, then you don't. And I should clarify, at IndyAirHogs.com, all one word,
okay,
you can go, and all you're really doing is putting your name on a list. The actual registration won't happen until you get there on site, and that's where I'll collect $30 and have you sign a waiver, and then you can hang out and fly and eat and camp all weekend.
Tell a couple of lies? How about that?
What's that?
Tell a couple of lies?
Yeah. You're going to need to tell some lies at night around the campfire.
Oh, but, too cool.
That's a story.
Dude, cool,
so
man.
This year, let's see. So, as always, camping on site is free.
Okay.
If you would like to set up a vendor's tent or anything like that, no extra charge.
Oh, excellent.
Anything like that. Food is provided virtually the whole time. Officially, it's, Saturday night dinner, But Matt has been cooking food the whole time the last few years. And
oh, wow.
Honestly, if you don't leave well fed that weekend, it's your own fault. So Matt and Liz have been doing a great job cooking and really staying on top of it. It's amazing, actually.
Yeah. How are those guys doing?
We're going to do a couple of different things.
I'm sorry. I said, how are those guys doing? Matt and Liz. I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt real quick, but how are those guys doing?
No, not at all. They're doing great.
Good.
I haven't been flying that much around here locally at our traditional Greenwood field lately because I've just flown there so much, I'm honestly kind of bored with it.
Oh, wow.
So I've been flying other places.
Other places.
A little bit.
Right, yeah. Different locations and stuff, always good, so. Yeah.
Speaking of other locations, Steve Scott is organizing a cross country this year.
Oh, excellent.
And he's come up with, a few locations. Now, of course, cross country organizing always depends on the wind. So you have to come up with a suitable place to go and turn around and come back. And it helps if you have at least two perpendicular points on the compass that you can aim for.
Right.
So he's been planning that, and I'm not sure what he's come up with exactly, but it'll be on the announcements board.
Okay.
When you get there.
Oh, excellent. Okay. Because I know those guys last year made it to the river and the ammunition plant, and some of those guys did a heck of a cross country. I think was that Friday evening or whatever. So, some great location to fly.
Right.
If you've never been to Scottsburg, excellent location to fly and everything. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's a lot. Yeah, it's a lot prettier than where I normally fly.
Yeah,
around Indianapolis, it's mostly just cornfields, bean fields.
Right.
Down in Scottsburg, as you know, Will.
Yeah.
But for anyone who doesn't, there's rolling hills. There's a lot of different types of terrain. There's rolling hills. There's river valleys. There's agricultural area, but then there's forest.
Yeah.
And not far away is the Ohio River, so it's really scenic.
Yes,
I really
enjoy
flying there.
Yes, it is.
The airport is just beautiful. I mean, Larry, the airport owner, keeps it very well maintained. The grass is super short. It's really nice, and we just couldn't ask for a nicer airport to fly from.
Yeah, and he's been really great. He loves forced to show up every year the way I've,
Loves having us there. He's just a gracious host. And, it's always just a real pleasure to have him there.
Wow.
So this year we're going to have thrust testing again.
Uh-oh.
always a magnet for controversy.
Yes. Let's see, that was 2 years ago, 3 years ago you had it set up? I never got to see the list, though.
Well, I think it was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
We started doing it, and we learned about a problem that happened, and it had to do with the thrust angle of the machine.
Okay.
We got some sort of unexpected results by changing the thrust angle. And it's kind of a long story, but this led to an investigation as to why our thrust testing sled was giving us weird numbers.
Oh, okay. Figured it out.
So we have an engineer-type fella who did a beautiful job kind of re-engineering the thrust sled. And he took the basic idea, but now the load cell that measures the thrust is right on the thrust line.
Oh.
And we have a way of adjusting the bed so that we can make the thrust line parallel to the direction of travel when it slides.
Wow, okay.
When the bed of the sled slides.
Right.
And now it can be adjusted because every machine's a little different.
Yes,
right?
It is.
When you set a machine down on the ground or on a thrust sled, some of them stand straight up and down, meaning that their thrust angle is exactly parallel with the ground. Some lean back, like my machine leans back probably 8 degrees. I've seen some that lean back almost as much as 20. So these things matter a lot, and then in addition, we found that the position of the load sensor, the load cell, was seemed like it was giving us funny numbers because of the way the tension was being transferred through the frame of the sled.
Right, I remember that, yeah.
So it's been kind of re-engineered.
Okay.
And it should be interesting. I'm not going to be very much involved with that, but Jeff Osborne will run with it, and measure some thrust. We also have a dB meter there so that we can measure sound. We did that in years past, and it's always interesting. There's quite a wide range of the amount of noise that
noise
the machine can produce.
Right, exactly.
That's a lot to do with the propeller, actually.
Propeller, way the motor's the exhaust is facing,
yeah.
A little bit of air. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Sure.
Right.
The exhaust has a lot to do with it as well.
Yeah.
So, also this year, we're going to have a used gear tent.
Sweet!
And that'll be a place where people can unload old stuff that's in their garage or, a wing that they've outgrown or just whatever.
Yeah.
It'll be a little bit of a PPG flea market, I think. The idea is that people get rid of an old wing or an old motor or an old helmet or just whatever.
Right.
Collecting dust. Somebody wants to set up a table or whatever, and they have a lot of things to sell, they should just set up a vendor's table and do it that way, because this tent is really just going to be for individuals to unload a thing or two.
Oh, okay. All right.
So that should be, I think that'll be popular.
Yeah.
Probably be a good place to pick up some deals.
Sounds good.
So the fly-in officially starts Thursday the 4th.
Right?
4th of September. And people can come early in the morning.
Really? Okay. So it can be early Thursday. All right.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I don't want people to come the day before because Larry, the airport owner, will be out there mowing and preparing the grounds, and it can be a little bit of a problem if people are setting up their tents and their RVs and stuff. So
right.
I don't want people to come before Thursday morning.
Okay.
Of course, they're welcome to stay until Sunday night if they like to after that. But it is a functioning airport on Wednesday, so the airport is closed from Thursday to Sunday for us for this event.
Sweet.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah.
Don't worry about other air traffic. It's really nice.
Now,
also,
go ahead.
I'm sorry?
No, I was going to say, I know you do this kind of PPG related, and I think you were saying that if you had something else you need to do, get permission or need to get in touch with you to see if it was okay. I do believe I read that somewhere.
Yeah. We really just kept this a PPG fly-in.
Yeah, okay.
And it works out better because fixed-wing ultralights, our parachutes, things like that, they have some different considerations.
Yeah.
And, honestly, in the past, there have been a few people that have brought other things, and they're people that we know and people that fly PPG generally, so they're aware of the considerations of PPG. We don't really want other faster aircraft there or aircraft that leave a big wake like PPCs do.
Right,
but,
yeah.
There have been the occasional exception. And let's see. Oh, yeah, so also down the runway, it's a half-mile runway.
Yeah.
Down the runway, there's a lot of area that's really been kind of underutilized, and we'd like it if students and, well, not students, but, people who are newer, low-hour pilots, go down there. And they don't have to, but it's a little more, it's a little lower pressure, and there's more space, and we will have several golf carts on hand to transport people's gear, because it is a long walk.
Right.
Nobody really wants to walk down there with their gear, but it gives people a nice open area where they don't have to worry about a lot of other people launching around them and landing and so forth. I think it'll be a nice low-pressure environment for low-hour pilots to, launch at their leisure.
Oh, come on, man. Come on. Remember when I went into the bean field? I didn't feel any pressure. Come on.
You want the pressure cooker, LV,
that's
huh?
Right.
Right there at the T where the taxiway meets the runway, and that's where all the action will be.
It's like changing of the guard or, christening of the ship. Come on.
That's where we'll be blending beans.
Oh, God.
One-handed helper.
Yeah, oh, yes. Yeah. Exactly, Dave. Oh, put the camera down.
Yeah.
I'm all right. Good thing.
Yeah,
great.
No
doubt. Oh, shoot. That's funny. Well, that's a good idea, man, because that is one of the things I can remember going to my first fly-in, and you're right. Pressure cooker big time. Please get the wing up. Please don't mess up. Please, all these things you think about. And if you have an opportunity where, and a lot of the fly-ins, limited space, you know, compared to this fly-in and everything. Like you said, the runway can utilize that whole runway. So, excellent idea.
Well, and speaking of that, that's actually another reason why we haven't been very welcoming of other ultralights is because it's a tight LZ. Right there in that main launching area is not very big.
Right.
And it gets real busy at you know, the peak hours in the morning and particularly the evening.
Mm-hmm.
Things get very busy and people are kind of shoulder to shoulder launching. What was your first fly-in, Will?
It was the Flight Junkies fly-in, believe it or not, Kurtz, when his was just on the south side of Columbus.
Okay.
Yeah, that was the first one. Yeah, sure was.
My first big fly-in was Salton Sea, actually.
Wow.
And that was intimidating as a new pilot. I think I only had 30 flights or so.
Yeah.
And I went there and I thought, oh my gosh, there's well over 100 pilots here. People are launching and landing and. Seemed like a lot going on. It was pretty intimidating.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Hopefully people will, newer pilots will find this arrangement to work out better.
Well, yeah, because I can remember circling thinking, oh, man, I don't want to land right there.
How am I going to get through this hornet's nest?
Yes, exactly. How far? Let's see, I walked about a quarter mile back to where I originally took off from, you know, so,
yeah.
Pretty funny, you know. Well, cool, very cool. Nice idea. What else you got for us, anything? Well, in past years, you actually had some seminar-type things. I didn't know if you were doing anything like that this year or not, so.
You know, in the past, we've done clinics, seminars, things like that. This year, a couple guys were tossing around some ideas about having a sort of a roundtable discussion regarding video editing. So the equipment used in video for PPG and flying in general.
Oh, wow.
And then probably the software that's used to edit it. Now, this is an area that I don't have much experience, so I can't really comment on it too much. I hope that Paul, Anthem, PPG for Morons will be drafted to be leading this discussion, I hope. I'm not sure he's agreed to it, but maybe he will. And Tim Gaskins from the Bad Apples has volunteered to participate. He's done a lot of great video.
Yeah.
So I'm sure there's going to be a lot to be learned there if this actually comes together. And if it does, it'll be on Saturday, probably Saturday afternoon.
Excellent. Okay.
Other than that, there aren't really any clinics planned. There is going to be a mass lantern launch for Saturday night.
That was nice last year.
There's going to be a mass lantern launch right at dark, and immediately following that, the fireworks will start. The fireworks show is going to be, I think, very good. Last year, well, if I could be so bold, I would say it was the best ever.
Yeah, everybody was saying that. Even the sideways fireworks. Man, that was great!
Yeah, things got a little bit wild there for a second.
It's like, oh my god!
Peter Kevin was all over it and got it straightened out.
Yeah, it was
got
great.
Hurt, but it was a little crazy there for a minute.
Yeah, it was like, wow.
And, he's confident that this show is going to go off bigger and better, he says.
Wow.
I'm sure it will. So, looking forward to that.
Yeah, it always amazed me how they, one of the things that the locals show up, it's been getting bigger and bigger, you know.
And for those of you who haven't been to our fly-in, on Saturday night, a lot of local people, and I heard from somebody that was helping with the parking, I heard that 1,000 people showed up from the Scottsburg area last year.
I believe it. Yes. I would.
It gets to be sort of a carnival-like atmosphere. It's pretty fun.
Yeah.
And there's food vendors, and, you know, there's the mass lantern launch. And seeing all those lanterns, Matt bought all those. And I think there's going to be something like 500.
Wow.
And seeing all those lanterns launched over Scottsburg, I mean, it's amazing. It's like those pictures you see.
Right.
When, like over in Asia, where they'll do these giant lantern launches. That's what it looks like. It's really cool.
Yeah, it was so, really.
That should be fun for everybody because everyone gets to participate in that one.
It was excellent. Yeah, I love it. It was like you said, it was like you can't go. The only thing you go is like, oh man, look at that one way up there. You know.
Yeah. So. All those lights in the sky. It's beautiful. Yeah. So this year, you know, assuming the weather is predicted to be good, this year is shaping up to be, well, one of the biggest, I think. I mean, with over 50 registered pilots now, and other people who have replied, we have a Facebook events page, and we actually have a couple different venues that have been set up by various people online, and so, you know, people have replied in different places. I think there's probably more like 70 people who have said they're going to come.
They're going to be here. And then the people who are going to just show up to it, so yeah.
And then there will be people who aren't getting online looking at that stuff who are just going to come.
Yeah.
That's right.
What's the biggest?
So I think it's going to be a pretty good turnout.
The biggest you've had so far has been about 80, right? I'm thinking somewhere in there.
Yeah, I think it was close to 80. It's 78 maybe?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, the number or whatever, and it seems like it's gotten, you know, maybe, what, 5 or 6 pilots more in the last several years or whatever. So I don't know if we made it up to the 90 or 100 mark yet, but I think it's becoming it seems like we keep losing a few, fly-ins here. This is beginning to be one of the, like you said, annual ones that people are looking forward to, so.
Yeah, it's, I would say that it's one of the biggest fly-ins in the U.S., if not the biggest now.
Yeah.
Now that we've had the loss of Salt and Sea.
Yeah.
Least Beach Blast temporarily. Yeah. Those were some of the big ones.
Right.
There have been a couple of pretty big ones in Florida recently. So, it's certainly the biggest fly-in in the Midwest.
In the Midwest, right. Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Maybe in the country. I don't know. But
yeah. Close. Yeah. Yeah. I'd say close, anyway.
We have a good time.
Yeah. Absolutely. Food, fun, and a couple stories, little line, but hey, safe line. You know, don't get any better than that, so.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Come on.
So, show up, come straight to the registration, need to see you. There's a $30 registration and also a waiver need to sign, kind of go over some rules and stuff like that. Will there be a pilot's briefing before every morning or anything like that that these guys need to know about?
We don't do that because we found that it's difficult to get to herd the cats into any place before flying time.
Okay.
Basically, when people come, I want them to register at the desk before they fly.
Right.
It's pretty simple. Go over just a few rules. And it's basically don't harass the locals and their livestock. That's the big one.
Right, right.
The other one, you know, and to me it's kind of common sense for fly-ins, but maybe for newer pilots it's not obvious, but... You know, don't piss off the locals, because that'll get us in trouble. And when you launch or land, just, you know, do that at the LZ, launch and get away. And when you land, don't fool around a bunch, just come in and land.
Right.
And that keeps the air traffic right around the launch and land site more clear. That will avoid most of the mid-air problems that we could have.
Right, right. And make sure you gather your gear, guys, if you land.
Students.
Yeah.
Gather
your gear, get it out of the way. You don't just kind of hang out. That's the same thing. Set up and go. So, because there's usually a lot of people,
don't
like
your
you
stuff
said,
laying on the field in people's way. It's not only is it a safety hazard; it's also inconsiderate.
Yeah.
But we'll have a guy out there. We'll have an air boss out there at the flight line who will be monitoring stuff during the busy hours, anyway.
Yeah.
And we try to stay on top of it pretty well, both for safety and just for organizational sake. And. We don't want people to bring dogs.
Right.
Not they can't break a dog, but we don't want dogs running around. It's a safety hazard.
It's an airport, Well, anyway, most airports don't allow dogs. They get their
guns
out.
Dogs running around at the LZ are a danger. In fact, I know the case at a PPC fly-in in Oregon. I heard about a guy's dog.
Oh, yes.
Got topped up by a powered parachute.
Yes, yes.
And it got real ugly.
Yes.
So we don't want that kind of stuff going on.
Right. I remember.
People can bring dogs, but they need to be on a leash or, you know, in their RV or something.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's about it for rules. Training students. I mean, if people want to kite and so forth during the day, that's obviously encouraged. But we don't want people soloing students or anything like that. There just isn't the place for it.
Understand.
It's a big, busy fly-in. But newer pilots are certainly encouraged to come, and they should. Come meet their other fellow pilots, see different gear that's out there.
Right, yes.
Hear the tall tales about weight and thrust, and
yes.
Be part of the scene.
Yeah. And guys, if you're thinking about getting equipment, like you said, great place. There will be everything out there that you can imagine that you may even be thinking about getting. Somebody's probably got it or has flown it. So, and don't be afraid to ask questions. That's what I did. One of the first ones. Actually, it's funny because I said the first one I went to was Flight Junkies. I didn't have any equipment yet. I went to the Flight Junkies the first year just to go and see equipment and talk to people and stuff like that. Then I went that second year and actually had equipment, so and went flying. So, yeah. It's a great opportunity to meet people and let them talk to you into opening your wallet and buying something and getting training. So,
yeah, I think it's the best way to learn about the sport if anyone's interested.
Yes, yes.
And certainly, there's going to be, I believe, three instructors who are also dealers of various gear who will be there.
Mm-hmm.
At least I know one for sure.
Hey, what's Dave's website? Dave Holcomb. He's an instructor
Midwest
there.
Midwest PPG.
MidwestPPGGuys.com. Yes, if you're...
And Mike Mexer and Robin Rumble, who are both instructors, so they'll be there. There may be one or two more who will be there. So there'll be plenty of opportunities to meet instructors and dealers and to look at gear. So if somebody's interested in that... that's the place.
Yeah. Well, excellent, man.
Anything
else? Sounds great,
man. I think
man.
That's about the size of it.
Yeah? Okay.
Oh, we will, I forgot to mention, at registration, you will be given a wristband.
Oh, yes.
Which tells the air boss that you've registered, but it also has a phone number on it, who is the airport manager out there. He used to be. I'm not sure if he is anymore, but and he lives in the area. He has a pickup truck, and he's been very, very helpful in the past with our fly-in. He just helps out a lot, and we really appreciate it. And his phone number, his cell phone number, is on the wristband. So that way, if you go down somewhere in Farmers Field, don't know where you are, you don't know anybody, just look at your wrist and call that number. Yeah. Hopefully you have a cell phone.
David
went and picked up a couple people last year.
Yeah.
So this is actually Andy.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I think one guy ran out of gas or something. I'm not really sure. So, I mean, nothing serious, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's been a real help. And I've actually heard of other fly-ins doing this, too, in recent years. I think it's a good thing to do.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Yes, because I can remember going down at the Kankakee fly-in and didn't know who in the world to call. And luckily I had Lance's number on my phone.
I remember that.
You remember? Yeah.
Yeah, I was in one of the pickups looking for you.
Yes, it's like, oh my gosh, where am I? Children of the corn.
Yeah.
It's like, holy crap. Mama. So, excellent idea. Well, cool, man. And guys, like we said, great fly-in to check out and come and if you have equipment, not have equipment, you know, and just like you said, tell some lies, eat some food, and enjoy the air, you know, when it's good. So, yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, man.
Look forward to it.
Thank you for the information and everything, and I'm going to get this right out, because it's getting really close to that time. And gosh, it's funny because I've been trying to get in touch with people off and on here. Like, it's like summertime, and like Brandon, he was flying this evening or whatever, and it's like, and I had planned to, but man, we had a storm come through right as I got off, and I was like, forget it. But then, of course, after the storm, it was perfect here, you know, but had already done.
That happened up here, too.
Did it really? Okay. Yeah, I was
just. Yeah, thunderstorms came through, and then right afterwards?
Yes.
It was glass.
Yes. And I was like, oh, you got to be kidding me. You know, I came down to the basement, you know, I was like, oh, I got stuff to do. So, but, real quick, I'm going to jump, kind of move on to something real quick. And we were talking about losing flying things and stuff like that, flying sights and fly-ins and stuff. And I was reading on the forum there. And guys, if you don't know about Yahoo groups and stuff. The Indie Air Hogs, they actually have a Yahoo group too, and of course there's a big list, and I've already talked to one person about it, and about the Kankakee flying. You guys went there, and I was seeing where it looks like we may not be PPG in there anymore, and I was just wondering, man, any thoughts about that? It just kind of like, wow, another one gone. So
yeah, that was too bad.
Yeah.
That fly-in was held at Enjoy Field, which is a glider port.
Oh, yeah.
And it's been there for, I think, 3 years now.
Yes, it was.
I've been there every year.
Yeah.
It's been a good time. A few things sort of came together that made the owner basically put the kibosh on it, and now he doesn't want to have it there anymore.
Mm.
So,
yeah.
I would say the... The main complaints I heard from him were that the there was one or more pilots who flew near livestock nearby, and somebody complained to him about it. He mentioned some other complaints, like somebody flying over a natural gas holding tank or something, which, frankly, is, I don't think it's illegal, and probably whoever flew over it. Wasn't me, but whoever flew over it probably didn't know that it was anything.
Right, yeah.
And then, you know, he was angry about somebody flying in the quarry, I guess. There's a quarry nearby.
Yes, which I've, you know...
As far as I know, it's off, wasn't it?
Yeah, I've flown it every time I've gone there, I believe, you know. Even when the fly-in was at the airport, actually, you know, at the Kankakee Airport stuff. That was one of the go-to places or whatever, so,
right.
You know. Well,
more interesting than cornfields.
Yeah.
It's deserted in the evening, so.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a congested area. Anyway, there was I think there was sort of an interaction of factors that came together.
Yeah,
one thing, and I saw this with my own eyes, so I can verify, and I understand why the owner was mad, because he was trying to run a glider business, towing gliders with ultralights.
Right.
And there was a PPG pilot out on the main runway who did not look behind him, out on the runway, did not look behind him,
yeah.
And he pulled his glider up, and the tow plane had just started its engine and starting to move forward.
Oh.
And stop.
Okay.
To avoid hitting him.
Right.
And Joe was, the owner, was standing right there and was pretty ticked off about it. I think that was kind of the straw that broke the back.
Right, yeah.
In addition to the other annoyances. So, anyway, I think that there were a few factors that came together. That
and like the perfect storm type situation.
Yeah, it sort of was.
Yeah. Well, see, last year, it's been last year there was a glider, you know, gliders being pulled and ultralights coming in and everything. Last year when I was there, it didn't seem like there was any issue or anything, unless it was one of those deals where things were said after it was over with and everything. So that's, I think that's what kind of surprised me I'm hearing, you know, you're telling the same stories that one other person I talked to about, you know, I'm like, wow, really? You know, it shocked me because we've had no issues whatsoever the other, you know, 2 years or three, you know, I didn't go last. You see, I went the first 2 years, didn't go this year. So, you know, so that kind of surprised me. So that actually was an issue this year.
It surprised me a little, too.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why it was so different this year.
Yeah.
You know, one thing I will point out, this is something that I think all flying organizers can learn from, is that there wasn't any air boss. There wasn't anybody out the flight line managing things at busy hours. And frankly,
wow,
with the different mixtures of aircraft like that,
right,
that would have been very useful.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So you've got these fast tow planes, and you've got gliders coming in dead stick, okay. These are hang gliders, and they move pretty fast.
Right.
And they're coming in. They don't have a motor. They have to land. And you've got PBG pilots. So you've got this mixture of different types of aircraft. And this is where an air boss can be an eye on the ground, kind of keeping track of people launching, landing, you know, looking over their shoulder.
Right.
I don't think that guy would have pulled the glider up if there was an air boss that had been standing there saying, hey
hold
plane
up.
Ready to take
right.
Hold on.
Yeah.
And so... You know, this is where that's useful. And, you know, maybe when you have a real big field and things are not tight, there's not really a need for it. But
mm-hmm.
I believe that when you get kind of a high density of aircraft, people launching, landing, and a lot going on in a tight space, you really do need at least one person whose job it is to make sure that there isn't mid-air collisions or any kind of interference. And it's as simple as, you know, people knowing what to do.
Right, right.
So, I mean,
extra eyes, man. Extra eyes to help you out. Yeah.
And you've been there.
Yeah.
You know, you're out there on the flight line. You've got three people. They're all ready to go, and they're kind of looking at each other, and like, whose turn is it to go?
Yes, yes.
Air boss just makes that decision.
Yeah.
Point at one guy and wave them on, and they hold their hand up to the other two guys.
Yes.
You know? And then everyone just knows what to do, and it's all just like air traffic controller. And that simplifies things. I think it's safer, but it also kind of creates a sense of order. So we do that when it gets busy. When it's not busy in the kind of off hours, we don't bother with that. But when it gets busy, I think it's important to have something like that in place.
It's a great idea. Yeah, I agree with you. Absolutely. Well, all right, man. I appreciate that information. I know it's kind of, you know, it's touchy, but, you know, I was just wondering. I was just, like I said, it just took me by surprise that that happened, and knowing that, like I said before, that we all mingled with no problem in the 2 years I was there. I don't know why it was a situation of an issue this year, we'll just leave it there.
It's too bad, because it's a beautiful site.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
I've always had a great time when I'm gone.
Yeah.
And I will say this, despite the incidents that were there, nobody got hurt or anything, but you know, the irritations that led to the closure of the plane, the weather was absolutely perfect the whole weekend.
Gorgeous, huh? Wow. Yeah.
Glassy and nice, and you couldn't ask for nicer weather.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Silver lining.
Yeah, and it's a beautiful place. I mean, it's a beautiful place to fly, guys.
Yeah.
I mean, it is. You have one of these days, like you said, the day glassy, and as far as you can see, it's unbelievable. I mean, in wide open space, you know, so.
But don't go there now.
No, most unfortunate.
Kern has said that you will be arrested for trespassing if you show up there. So,
wow.
It's not a PPG or PG friendly place anymore.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Well, all right, man. Well, Ray, thanks, man, for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Appreciate it. Appreciate it. Yeah, hopefully we'll see you guys soon. And actually, I will not be in until late Saturday, probably, because, of course, we scheduled vacation for Disney that week, and we traveled back Friday, so I'll be up there Saturday and maybe Sunday morning to see everybody or whoever's left. So I'm going to miss a big portion of it. So.
Oh, that's too bad.
Most unfortunate. But I do plan to be at Dave's Saturday, Purden, so I don't know if you guys are going to hit that one too. So that's the week before,
guys.
If you don't know about Dave Purden, just go to USPP. USPA.org to check out the events page, and they give you the directions and all that stuff about Dave Purden. It's the week before, so excellent, man. Well, we'll let you go. Sorry for the late call and everything, but I wanted to get this out for everybody to kind of.
My fault, because I was out flying tonight.
So oh, no.
Thanks
no.
for calling me. Thanks for chatting, Will. It's a pleasure being on the show, and I look forward to seeing you.
Same here, man. We'll see you soon.
Well, all right, there you guys go. Brandon Oberlin, Indy Air Hogs fly-in coming up real soon. Definitely got to go to. Actually, I'm going to check out Dave Purden's the week before this one. I don't know if you guys know about that one. Another great one, fly-in or whatever. So hopefully the weather's good for both of them. So anyway, we will talk to you soon. See you at the Indy Air Hogs. See you at Dave Purden. Safe skies. This is Will Jones with Talking PPG Radio. Talk to you soon. Thanks for listening.